Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Text number 38. Ichyutana pada putro Dhruva Krishna parayana Abhutrayanam lokanam Chudamaniya ivamala Ichyutana pada putro Krishna parayana Abhutrayanam lokanam Chudamaniya ivamala Uchyutana parvutro Dhruva Krishna parayana Abhutrayanam lokanam Chudamaniya ivamala Iti thus Uttanapada of Maharaj Uttanapada Putra the son Dhruva Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna Parayana, fully Krishna conscious. Abhut became Trayanam of the three. Lokanam worlds. Chuda Mani the summit jewel. Eva, like Amala, purified. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way, the fully Krishna conscious Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapada, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. Translation responsibly. In this way, the fully Krishna conscious Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapada, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. Purport. The exact Sanskrit terminology for Krishna consciousness is here mentioned, Krishna Parayana. Parayana means going forward. Anyone who is going forward to the goal of Krishna is called Krishna Parayana, or fully Krishna conscious. The example of Dhruva Maharaj indicates that every Krishna conscious person can expect to reach the topmost summit of all three planetary systems within the universe. A Krishna conscious person can occupy an exalted position beyond the imagination of any ambitious materialist. Amagan, Timadandashya, Ginanjina, Shalakaya, Chakshurun, Militamina, Tasmay, Sri Gurave, Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamaya. Dati Swapadantikam Pancha Kaupat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the chapter is discussing about Dhruva Maharaj going back home, back to Godhead. Interesting the way Prabhupada translates these things. Going back home, what does that refer to? If you're going home, where are you going? It means you're going to the place that you came from, your origin. Right? So if you're going back home, so it's interesting. Now, Prabhupada says going back home, back to Godhead. Right? Because there is a debate, even amongst devotees, about the origin of the jiva. Right? Where did we come from? Right? Did we come from Krishna Loka or Vaikuntha? What did we come from? And Brahma Jyoti. These two are there. Brahma Jyoti is a place you go and you sleep. And you stay there. It merged in your sleep. So if you want to sleep, go to Brahma Jyoti. And enjoy yourself unlimitedly. But if you want to serve Krishna and be active, then you go to Krishna Loka, the place where Krishna belongs. This is the... Even amongst devotees, there is this debate. Did we come from Krishna and Krishna's abode, Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha? Or did we come from Brahma Jyoti? So actually, Prabhupada was asked this question. Here in Melbourne, actually, he was asked this question by Madhudwiza Prabhu. And Prabhupada asked, Madhudwiza Prabhu asked, where do we come from, Brahma Jyoti or like that? So Prabhupada's version was that we came from Krishna Loka. Because the name of this chapter is, it goes back to Godhead. That means that you came from that place. And even many devotees, even acharyas, some argue that we did not come from that place, we came from Brahma Jyoti. But here, Prabhupada would always say, when he called his magazine, Back to Godhead. He would always use this term, go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada would constantly speak of going back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada was asked, did we come from Brahma Jyoti or did we come from Krishna Loka? Prabhupada says, then we came from Krishna Loka. We fell into this material world. Why did we fall into the material world? No, because there was no karma. So how could you fall from the spiritual? There's no karma in the spiritual. So how do we fall into the material world? What? Yeah, we misused independence. Misusing it, like, this is my watch, right? So I put it on my wrist, it tells the time. Or I can pick it up, I can throw it at your nose, right? And smash you in the face and make your nose bleed. And with this watch, I can do it. But that's misuse of independence. Proper use of independence, I put on my wrist. Oh, what time is it? Hare Krishna. There's the time. Misuse means I do something wrong. That's misuse of independence. Every day we have choice. You want to do something good or you want to do something bad. That's your choice. That's independence. Don't say, oh, someone made me do it, this one made me do it, that one. You know. In America, sometimes they there's Christian... Not actual Christian, but they call themselves Christian ministers of religion. One very famous one in America a few years ago. He was caught with a prostitute. The police officer lady, she dressed herself like a prostitute. And then he came and he said, hey, come with me. And she pulled out the badge. And she said, hey, I actually am a police. Caught him. This guy's famous, has television show, everything. So then, on Sunday, he comes onto television And everyone is thinking, what's he going to say? Right? Now he's been caught with a prostitute, and now he's going to tell us, you know, all about God and everything. So he came, and he was on television, and he started to cry and everything. And he said, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. You know, in Christianity, they believe there's some devil person who makes you do things like that. And he said, and if you believe that the devil made me do it, ring this number now and send in your money. Because on their show every week, they say, ring this number and send money. On that show, he got the most money he ever got. Everyone was believing. Right? The devil made him do it. There is no devil. B, there was misuse of independence. He did it. It wasn't the devil. It was like someone didn't make it. You chose. You have the choice. You want to serve Krishna, surrender to Krishna, or you want to stay in the material world? That's your choice. No one's making you stay. Who's making you stay here? Okay, there are obstacles there. That's Maya's duty to bewilder you. But you have a choice. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong. You are not sincere. That's the point. Maya is not strong. She is strong if we are not sincere. If we are sincere, you can easily overcome Maya. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mamamai Dirachaya Mameva Ye Prabhajanti. Krishna says, you surrender to me, easily you'll go over Maya. Easily. You don't surrender to Krishna, it will be very difficult to cross beyond Maya. You will stay in the material world for lifetimes. Bahu Jamma Kadiyadisha. Bahu Jamma means lifetimes you can stay. So you want to go back to Krishna, that's your choice. So why did we come here to this material world? We misused our independence. We didn't want to serve Krishna. You don't want to serve Krishna? Krishna says, okay, go to the material world, enjoy yourself. I'll see you next time. And then, when you want to come back to Krishna, then Krishna facilitates that. He will give you facility, ability to come back. But the choice is yours. So, Prabhupada was explaining here in Melbourne. We were in the spiritual world with Krishna. We misused our independence. You come to the material world. Then sometimes in the material world, you become a Brahmavadi. And when you're a Brahmavadi, you aim to merge back into Brahmajyoti. So then, you go back into the Brahmajyoti. Right? And then you stay there for such a long time, and then you come back into this world because there's nothing to do up there. Right? So then you come back into this world. So then sometimes they say, well, you came from Brahmajyoti. We all came from Brahmajyoti. So Prabhupada says, yeah, at some point in time you may have come from Brahmajyoti, but originally we came from Krishna. And then Prabhupada's conclusion, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Some devotees, they write, you know, articles and have websites and, you know, talk about it for years. Do we come from Krishna or Brahmajyoti? Devotees get very worked up about these things. It doesn't matter, actually. Actually, I see devotees get worked up about things. But when you look at them in totality, these things are very insignificant things. But we get very, oh, this is big thing, big argument over little thing. Just like Indradumna Swami. You know Indradumna Swami? He's a guru in ISKCON. Right? Right now he's in Poland doing Woodstock, big preaching like that. Very one of the powerful gurus in ISKCON. So Maharaj, he writes a diary, and he said a few years ago, he went to the doctor in South Africa to have a checkup, and there was a mark on his back. And then the doctor went into the other room and got the other doctor and brought him, and they were both looking, and then they went back into the other room, they were whispering to each other. And then he heard one of them whisper, cancer. And when he heard that word cancer, his whole body broke out into sweat. And he thought, oh, cancer. And then he said everything in his life, all the things which were big things, big problems, everything just went, shrunk down into little. So you should live your life like this. Everything should be in proportion. Sometimes devotees, I see devotees arguing. Oh, this thing and this thing. Sometimes devotees don't talk to each other for 20 years. And when you find out what was the actual reason, just some little thing like this. But then becomes big thing, and oh no, I will not talk to that. Just because, you know, Other devotee got the last piece of avocado at breakfast 20 years ago, and now you won't speak to him. You know what avocado is? Yeah.
This is the problem.
This is the problem in the material world. Everyone likes to argue. Everyone is attached. In the material world, we're attached to suffering. I enjoy it. I like suffering. Because you've been here for so long, there is no suffering in the spiritual world. You've been here for so long, now you're attached to it. You like it. Oh no, I need to suffer. And then two devotees getting along. Oh no, I want to argue. I'm attached to it. Oh, what is the problem? Everything is this big in the material world. Insignificant. You look at Lord Brahma's vision. Lord Brahma, he looks above us. He looks down. How long is our life in Lord Brahma's time? Right? 1 year here is like one moment up in his time. So he looks down at us. You know, all your big problems, right? He looks down, it's all gone, disappeared. 1 year is gone. Well, for 1 year, we were like, oh, I got this problem, I got that problem, like that. In his time, it's insignificant. And it's just the way we look at reality, that's all. So we're in this material world, and Prabhupada said, where did we come from, Brahma Jyoti or Krishna Loka? He said, ultimately, it doesn't matter. Devotees argue, oh, where did we come? It doesn't matter. Where are you now? That's what's important. Where are you now? You're in the material world, and you're suffering, and you're in Maya. That's where we are right now. You're in Maya. Suffering in this material world. Everyone thinks you can be happy in this material world. Right? All the Australian people, where do they go to be happy? If Australian people want to be happy, where do they go? Bali. It's true. It's true. Thousands of people go every day from Australia to Bali to be happy. And then what happened in Bali 2 days ago? Earth went like this. Huh? They said, I read last night, 91 people dead. Is it more or less? Yeah, in Mumbai. Yeah, it's on the other island. Yeah, but who cares? It's the same. Okay, Lombok, right. So, Lombok or Bali, doesn't matter. The point is, the whole place went earthquake. Imagine the, under our ground right now, everything, like the ground just goes like this. Like that. Right? Actually, one devotee was there, one friend of mine, Jayaprada Radhika, you know her? She's from Melbourne. Jayaprada Radhika, friend of mine, devotee. She was there. She was on a bike riding down the street, and she said then all the windows started just falling out onto the street, smashing, because everything went like that. All the glasses, and she just rode to the beach. Actually, she said she dropped her bike, she ran to the beach, because at the beach, you know, nothing's going to fall on you. And she said that's the second time she's been in an earthquake in her life. Some other country. She must have some karma for earthquakes. Yeah? That's the material world. You come here to enjoy, and what actually happens? You don't know what's going to happen. Who knows what's going to happen today in Melbourne? You don't know. Anything can happen. Radhanath Swami says anything can happen at any time. So enjoy yourself. That's the material world. Enjoy yourself. Some countries having a civil war or cultural revolution. Some countries are in famine. Some are tsunami is coming. In Bali, because they thought then after the earthquake, everyone starts thinking, tsunami. So everyone runs to the beach to be safe, and then everyone on the beach is running back the other way. Because they think now, you know, if there's an earthquake, it means the waves are going to go crashing. That's the material world. Enjoy yourself. Material world key? That is the nature of this material world. It is suffering. So we come here into this material world, and devotees argue, where do we come from? It doesn't matter where we came from. Look at where you are now. You're stuck in the material world, right? So there's two options. Stay here or go back to Krishna. Where do you want to go? Hands up, you want to stay here. Hands up, you want to go back to Krishna. You see? This little girl, she's enthusiastic. She wants to go back to Krishna. Most enthusiastic person in this room. I say, who wants to go back to Krishna? Oh, yeah. Like that. That's the kind of enthusiasm you need if you want to go back to Krishna. That's what this whole pastime is about. Dhruva Maharaj. So determined. Tivrena Bhakti Yoga. Nothing will stop me. Tivrena means nothing will stop me from going back to Krishna. You have to have that kind of enthusiasm if you want to go back. But the test will be, can she maintain it her whole life? Easy now, she's 5 and everything's, you know, it's like a festival like that. But see, when she's 20, because then Maya will say, oh, what about this? And what about that? And what about that? And that's what she does to all of us. Easy to say, yeah, I want to go back to Krishna. If you want to go back to Krishna, you have to be serious. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Otherwise, you can't go back. So they're the two choices that you have. Stay in the material or go back to Krishna. Okay. So, we're seeing here that Dhruva Maharaj, he was able to attain a very high kingdom. And Prabhupada points this out in the purport. Krishna Parayana, that's the Sanskrit, which is used in this particular verse. Krishna Parayana means? Krishna conscious. Right? Very Krishna conscious, absorbed in Krishna. And Prabhupada explains, if you are absorbed in Krishna, you will go back to Krishna. Right? And you may be given material facility simultaneously. But a devotee should not pray for material facility. That is the purport of pure devotional service. What is the definition of pure devotional service? How do we define it? Pure devotional service. We need to know what it is. We're all doing devotional service, right? But we have to understand, what is pure devotional service? If you want to go back to Krishna, you have to perform pure devotional service. It is called Uttama Bhakti, or Amala Bhakti, or Kevala Bhakti, or Shuddha Bhakti. All these terms are used in the Vedic literature, so by the Acharyas. Different types of bhakti, pure devotional service. If you don't do pure devotional service, you won't go back to Krishna. So how do we define pure devotional service? What is the definition? Yeah, Anya Bilashita Shunyam. What does the word Shunya mean? Shunya. Zero means devoid, without, Shunya. Like Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Shunyavad. Shunyavad means? Voidism. And which group was Prabhupada referring to? Who are the voidists? Buddhists. Yeah, Buddhism. Nirvisesh, Nirvisesh. Shunyavad, Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Nirvisesh means without. Nir means without. Visesh means form. That's Mayavad philosophy. And then Shunyavad. Prabhupada came to defeat these two. Prabhupada was a very strong preacher. He came to defeat Buddhist philosophy and Mayavad philosophy. These days, everyone is, everything is one, everything is beautiful. Whatever you believe, whatever I believe, it's all beautiful. Just whatever you believe, that's beautiful. Everyone, that's the philosophy these days. And Prabhupada said, no. When Prabhupada was here in 1975, 1976, he was in India, and they had one conference. It was down near Mumbai. It might have been at Wadar, I think, but it was somewhere down in that place in Mumbai. And then Prabhupada went, and it was they called many prominent religious gurus within India at the time to come. And they were having like a discussion about Bhagavad Gita, how they wanted to make Bhagavad Gita the main text to bring everyone together. All the different spiritual groups in India, all the gurus came and like that. Bhagavad Gita, we have to present this to the Western world. Prabhupada was already doing it. Prabhupada already went, he already brought followers. His Gita is the most widely read. Prabhupada was already doing it. So they invited Prabhupada because he was doing it and these others also. So they all came and it was a 3-day conference and they all spoke for 3 days. The first day they didn't invite Prabhupada to the discussion because they said, Prabhupada, you're more senior and you're older, you just rest. We'll discuss and then we'll bring you in and then we'll tell you what we've discussed. Right?
So they discuss for a day, then the next day they bring Prabhupada in. Prabhupada comes in, Prabhupada sits there. And, you know, gurus are quite famous people, some of them quite famous, you know, gurus in India. They said, Swamiji, we have come, and they were giving some impersonal Mayavad-like conclusion to the whole thing. Yeah. Prabhupada said, your efforts will never work. Right? And they're all like, Prabhupada insulted them. Your efforts will never work. You want global peace and you want Bhagavad Gita to be the main book and everything. He said, you will never work. He said, because you do not understand the Bhagavad Gita. And they're all, you know, how can he say like that? And Prabhupada did not care. He wasn't into social formality like that. But Prabhupada would say as it is what they needed to hear. Of course, we cannot do that. We have to be very careful how we present things. But Prabhupada, he would just speak very directly. So directly he said, it will not work. He said directly to me, it will not work. And then one young person actually stood up and challenged Prabhupada. And Prabhupada got really angry. Prabhupada said, sit down. Right? And they kept trying to talk over Prabhupada. Sit down. Got really angry. Right? And he really got, and they were all like, oh. You know, and they were thinking, why did we invite him? Yeah. He really got in everyone's case. And then at the end, Prabhupada was nice, and then he spoke very nicely to kind of, you know, pacify everyone. But he would not compromise. And then one of the gurus, after the meeting, got in the car and just drove away. Wouldn't even stay there anymore. Right? Because could not listen like that. Prabhupada would do like that. Other times he would go. There were other times when he went to different meetings, different Pandal programs in India. So he would go to a program and they would call different gurus to speak. One time Prabhupada went and he spoke. And then at the end, Prabhupada had all of his disciples sitting, 40 disciples sitting. And Prabhupada spoke in Hindi. And none of the devotees spoke Hindi. They were all Americans and European, Westerners. And they sat there. Prabhupada said, sit there. He said, the sound will purify you. So they sat there. Didn't even understand what Prabhupada was speaking about. For 1 hour, Prabhupada spoke. And then, after Prabhupada finished, another guru came. He was a Mayavadi. And he began to speak. And Prabhupada was still sitting there on the stage. He was listening. And after a few minutes, Prabhupada listening to his nonsense, Prabhupada turned to his disciples. It wasn't even Prabhupada's program. It was someone else. Prabhupada, he said, start kirtan. So they started the kirtan. Right? And then the other guy couldn't even speak because all the devotees started the loud kirtan. It's quite rude. But Prabhupada would do these things because he's uncompromising. He wasn't going to tolerate people not speaking the absolute truth. Right? Prabhupada's guru was the same. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was called Sima Guru, Lion Guru. It says when he would walk down the street of Calcutta, if the Mayavadi was walking down the street and saw him, they would run away. Because he would cross the street and grab them, physically grab them, the Mayavadi, and shake them and say, why are you cheating the people? Why are you cheating the people? Very strong preaching. We cannot do like that. Yeah, if I go to the Mind Body Spirit Festival and go and grab someone, why, you know, like that, then, you know, the police will come, they'll, Channel 7 helicopter will come and be on the news. Hare Krishna attacks, you know, something. They cannot do. We cannot do. Well, the Prabhupada, he was preaching like that, very strong. So nirvisesh shunyavad. Shunyavad means voidism. Void. Nothing. So this is voidism. Right? Shunyavad. So the analysis or the understanding that Rupa Goswami gives in the Nectar of Devotion about pure devotional service, it must be shunyam. Anya bilashita. Shunyam. Shunyam means devoid of anya bilashita. What does that mean? Desires. Bhakti must be devoid of material desires. Not desires. Because you cannot stop desiring. It's not possible. It is not possible. You have to desire. Krishna says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we cannot stop doing something even for a moment. Stop doing something. For one moment, stop. Don't do anything for one moment. Not possible. Everyone did something. You were thinking, why is he telling me this? Or you were breathing, or you cannot stop doing something. It's not possible. So you have to do things, but only in Krishna's service. Your desires have to be for Krishna. Jnana kamad yana vritam. And they must. Your desires must be devoid of three things. Jnana means philosophical misconceptions. Just like, what type of yoga do we do here in ISKCON? Bhakti yoga. And what does bhakti mean? Devotion, right? But now, all around the place, all the yoga groups and everything, they talk about bhakti yoga. Oh, we do bhakti yoga. Or they have a retreat and they say, 1 hour we'll do bhakti. They don't even know what bhakti is. Why? Because for bhakti to be bhakti, you must have the right philosophical conception. If you're a Mayavadi, then who are you serving? If God is not a person, then who are you serving? So they say, we're doing bhakti yoga. It's not bhakti, because how do you serve the impersonal Brahman? How do you serve a light? Right? There's a light bulb just there, right? Serve the light bulb. Do something for the light bulb. Right, do something. Seva, do. You can't? Okay, you're a kid, so you don't know what to do. Okay, one of the adults, serve the light bulb. How will you do it? Yeah, okay, so pray to you. You're the source of everything. You're so wonderful, you illuminate everything. Like that. Okay, but the. Okay, you are doing service, that's true. I just served the light bulb.
You are doing everything else.
That's seva. But can the light bulb reciprocate? No. Can the Brahma Jyoti reciprocate? No. There is no reciprocation. No. That's why it is a limited experience. It's why if you go to the Brahma Jyoti, you will come back. Because there is no reciprocation. So it's not bhakti. Bhakti means you have to serve a person. Like we say to each other, Prabhu, can I do some service for you? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, you have to do 5 services to every devotee, not every devotee, to devotees every day. 5 services. What did you do today for the devotees? What seva have you done? Have you served the devotees? I'm doing my service for the devotee now. I'm speaking about Krishna. This is my seva to all the devotees. Right? And out there in TV land. Right? Hare Krishna, Maharajas, Adajis, like that. Seva. This is my service to devotees. So you have to serve. But you can only serve a person. You cannot serve energy. You cannot serve energy. You have to serve a person. So jnana, bhakti must be devoid of philosophical misconception. If there's misconception, it is not bhakti. No? Rupa Goswami clearly says, jnana karma, it must be free from material activities. If you're doing material activities mixed with bhakti, it is not pure bhakti. Just like if you're doing bhakti to become rich, there's karma mixed in. Your desire to gain wealth. If that's your desire, that is not pure devotional service. If you want to do devotional service to make money, that is not pure devotional service. Because you can do devotional service to make money. Right? I can say, you know, I'm doing some seminar on bhakti. Everyone come, you all pay me to come in there. Yeah. If that's my motivation, there's nothing wrong with charging people to come and hear about Krishna, but if that's my motivation, is to keep the money for my own enjoyment, that is not bhakti. If we charge people, you come, Just like we run programs near the farm, right? And we charge people to come. Western people come. They expect to pay something. That's the culture. Right? So we say, okay, you pay. You come. You hear about Krishna consciousness. Right? And they give us money. But we use that money to improve the program, to invest in the program, to preach. Not for our own enjoyment. So then karma. So bhakti must be free from karma, jnana, and adi means other things. It means yoga, Ashtanga process. It means mixing other traditions or other ways to understand the truth with the bhakti process. I must be free from that also. Just like I can sit here in meditation. I can sit and say, okay, this is my service to Krishna. I'm meditating on Krishna. I sit here in the temple all day and I'll just meditate on Krishna. Right? But then one devotee comes and says, Prabhu, can you sweep the floor? And I said, no, I'm meditating on Krishna.
Sweeping in the mind.
Sweeping in the mind. Yeah, that's very good, sweeping in the mind. That will do a real lot of good for the floor. That'll do nothing for the floor. Oh, I swept the whole temple today in my mind. Nice. Wonderful. But then if one of the devotees, senior devotees, says to you, Prabhu, sweep the floor with your body, not your mind. Right? That is what you should do. That is pure devotional service. Otherwise, you're mixing other things in. Sometimes people do. They say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Who's telling you to do this? Who's telling you to do that? You have to act under the guidance of Guru. What does the Guru tell you to do? What did the Guru tell you? Right? The Guru's representatives, the senior Vaishnavas, what did they tell you to do? Right? You do that, then you'll become perfect. Don't mix it with other things. So bhakti must be free from those things. And then it must be to be pure. Anukul yena. Right? What is anukul?
Favorable.
Bhakti must be anukul. It cannot be pratikul. Pratikul means unfavorable. I do something for you, but I don't really want to do it. How does that make you feel? Not very good. Right? I don't really, and we know when someone does something for us, but they don't really want to do it, right? Then it doesn't make you feel very good. Oh my God, what are you doing? Why can't you sit down? Right. Just give your flowers to the Brahma Jyoti and then be happy. Okay. Everyone wants to sit down, peaceful. We can smell the flowers later. There's so many flowers. But devotional service must be anukul. It must be favorable to Krishna. And that is not easy. It's not easy to be favorable in your mind towards Krishna while you're doing your service all the time. Because sometimes we don't feel like doing it. Like sometimes you don't feel like finishing your rounds. But you have to do it. And then when you do it, are you favorable or unfavorable? Sometimes we're unfavorable. Oh, why are you making me do this? What kind of a person are you? You know, what sort of a torture is this? You know, and then you're counting the beads. You know, each time, one round, two round, three. You know, you've got 12 to go. It's 10 o'clock at night, you've got 12 to go. Who made this kind of thing up? You know what? No, that's unfavorable. Right. Then you will not get Krishna. That's why we should chant our rounds early in the morning. Because later in the day it becomes more difficult. And then the mind will not be so favorable sometimes. So you have to do devotional service favorably. Anushilanam. Krishna anushilanam. Anukoyena. Krishna anushilanam. Bhakti uttama. Krishna anushilanam. Anu means you have to follow. To do devotional service purely, you have to follow those who know how to do it. You have to learn from those who know how Krishna likes to be served. If you know how Krishna likes to be served, then you will understand. So you have to find those. You have to become a follower of those who know how to please Krishna. That is pure devotional service. So we have to be careful. When we do devotional service, we have to analyze our motivations. Prabhupada is saying this. If you don't have the right motivations, you won't attain Krishna. If you have the right motivations, you will attain Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, he had the right motivation, he attained Krishna. So we'll stop here, we'll see if there's any questions or comments, what we discussed. Yeah, we should not be like that. You have to be expert. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is daksha. Daksha means expert. Just like when you make bread. So you're kneading the dough. If it's too wet, the bread's not going to work properly. If it's too dry, it's not going to work properly. So you become daksha, expert. It has to be perfect. When you make chapati, you have to make the dough, it has to be the right consistency. That takes practice, expertise. So when you're preaching to someone, it has to be the same. It has to be. You have to become expert. Mataji, I can't concentrate. Otherwise, if you want to talk, you have to go outside. If you need to talk, you go outside. Talk. So you have to become expert in the way we deal with people. Right? If someone is coming to Krishna consciousness, if you're not strong enough sometimes, they don't take. And sometimes if you're too strong, they also don't take. So you have to become daksha, expert. So just like, you know, Philip lives in Brahmacharya Ashram, so he was coming. And then I saw that he was ready to join the ashram. But then the policy in the ashram generally is they have to wait 3 months. You know, no, you can't just join the ashram. It's after 3 months and we'll see. But I could see for him, he was ready. He should come straight in like that. So then I was preaching to him and also to the other devotees, bring him now. Because I could see he was ready. So you have to get the right time. And I was preaching to him like that. You know, every week I would come and give class, he would sit there. And I would say to him, do it now. Because I could see there were still a few attachments there. So I preached to him strongly, smash the attachments and do it now. Fully surrender to Krishna. So sometimes you have to push. But you have to know who to push. You do it with someone else, it doesn't work. Right? So that's daksha. Daksha means? That means you have to become expert. So don't be too soft. Oh, it's all beautiful, man. Oh, let's all just chant, man. Oh, yeah, man. Let's just have some prasadam, man. Oh, it's all beautiful, man. What is that? That's not devotional service. Prabhupada wasn't like that. Prabhupada said, go and distribute books. In the beginning, Prabhupada was off, but as soon as someone is ready, then get them involved. So you have to become expert at doing that. Make sense? It takes practice, that's all. Yeah, but don't be sentimental. Otherwise, people, you know, they just forever just like, oh, it's all beautiful.
Yeah. Sometimes you get preached to. You get preached to over there.
What does that mean?
As in, easy going, they
want
to preach their philosophy to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada said, you know, we have success when we preach to students at universities because they're at the right age. You know, when someone's at university, that's the right age to make that. So when you're preaching or you're teaching someone or discussing with someone from like that level, university, Prabhupada said, you agree with what they say. They say, oh, they've got all their ideas. Oh, Prabhupada said, yeah, you agree with it. But in Krishna consciousness, we think like this. So you don't put them off because, yeah, okay, you validate what they said. But you say, however, and give them the room. So it's expert. You have to become an expert preacher. Not easy to make devotees, especially Western devotees, especially in 2018. But it is happening. Like, we're making devotees at the farm, Western people. We have Western people chanting 16 rounds a day now. You know, because it's the way we're preaching to them. Right? We're doing it very, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of to do it. TK? Okay. Any other question? Be humble.
Yeah, we always hear about these things and that we have nothing to show us everything. But then sometimes like this humility leads to the sense of negativeness. And then few services we have to be confident and emphasize it, then how to relate all these things.
I don't understand. What's the question?
Like sometimes too much humility, like we are nothing.
About ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not what Prabhupada was teaching. That's not what Krishna teaches. Humility means I'm not a good cook. That's humility. I'll tell everyone I'm not a good cook. That's humility. You know, I tell everyone I'm a really good cook. They'll say, well, what can you cook? Right? So that's humility. That's being real. Humility means being real about yourself. It doesn't mean feeling bad about it. I don't feel bad about myself because I'm not a good cook. No, but I'm not a good cook, so that's it. So humility means being real about yourself. Don't think you're something that you are not. You know, I tell everyone I'm a really good cook, then what is that? That's not humility. Understand what you're good at and do that for Krishna. But understand the results come from Krishna. Okay, so if I look at myself, what am I good at? I'm good at giving classes, right? But then sometimes I'm giving class, and then I'm looking and all the devotees are really listening and I can see everyone's really enlightened. And then I start thinking in myself, wow, this is a really good class. I give really good classes. And then everything I'm thinking in my head, it just goes, disappears. Because Krishna says, oh, you think you're giving good class? What about this? I take it all away. Gyanam smritya apohanam cha. I just made you forget the whole thing. How do you like that? So then I'm sitting there, I'm giving class, everyone's listening, and I've got no idea what I was even talking about. Right? And then I just keep talking, and then in my head I think, okay, Krishna, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have been thinking like that. And then he usually holds me out for a couple of minutes. Then after a couple of minutes, he puts it all back in there again. And then I think, okay, that's what I was thinking of. Then Krishna's saying, you're not the doer. That's the point. So humility means that we don't take ownership. That's all. We don't have to feel bad about, oh, I'm not this, you know, and then there's false humility. Sometimes you come to the temple, everyone's walking around, oh, Prabhu, oh, Prabhu, what is that? Oh, Prabhu, just be normal. Yeah. But think, humility means to think, I am the servant of the other devotees. That's humility. How I serve the devotee, that is different. If you're a senior devotee, it doesn't mean that you necessarily go around serving all the junior devotees in a particular way. Doesn't mean you're not humble. It means your seniority means you serve them by giving them instructions, by giving them shelter, right? By giving them guidance. That's humility. Doing your service for Krishna and not expecting praise or recognition for what you do. That's humility. Does it make sense? Yeah. Not false humility. False humility is painful. Yeah, devotees, oh, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I am your servant. Then go and do that. Well, you know, some devotees, they're all like, oh, Prabhuji. And as soon as you chastise them, they get like very, like, oh. Huh? Sometimes, because, you know, I say to devotees, you know, I walked in this morning, everything's not set up properly. You know, they rang me, they said, Prabhu can't give class, can you give class? I said, okay, so I came to give class. I came in, it's not set up properly. You know, I'm giving class, like that. Prabhu sits like that. So I came in, I said, come on, get moving. You do that, you do that. Some devotees, they get very offended, like, oh, how can he speak to me like this? You know, like that. Right? So as long as, you know, and they come to you, oh, Prabhu, I'm your servant, I'm doing it. Okay, do that. Oh, no, that's not humility. Humility means I am the servant. Right? Sometimes the senior devotees have to get everyone moving. Come on, do something. Right? It should take 10 seconds. Sometimes devotees take half an hour just to, you know, Like, come on, there's not service. Does it make sense? Yeah. Don't be falsely humble. Falsely humble. False humility is painful. Any other question, comment?
Isn't it based on the Christian background that we feel weak and humble and know that no self esteem? Is that true? No self esteem as opposed to Krishna consciousness when you have high esteem, but you still insignificant.
Yeah, self esteem means, you know, a devotee should feel good about themselves. We feel good about ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't have self esteem. You know, we should like ourselves. But humility means I can see where I need to improve. And I'm working on that. Because no one is perfect. But it doesn't make me feel, oh, I'm so bad. Sometimes the writers get, oh, I'm bad like this, I'm bad like that. Oh, what is that? Who cares about that? That's not important. That's not actual service to Guru or Krishna. To be negative, you're not serving Krishna and you're not serving Guru. Where does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? You need to think, oh, I'm useless, I'm worthless, I'm like that. That's it. There are prayers like that where we pray, I'm lower than a blade of grass. We should have that mood, but it doesn't mean that we think of ourselves in an unhealthy way. It should not be like that. We should just be a humble servant of Krishna. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.